Salam, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour with myself, Aliyah, and with Yusuf right next to me. And we hope that you have had a wonderful, wonderful Shabbat. We hope that it's been a good day. And I know for some of you, the day is just beginning. So I hope that you've been having a good one so far. You know, this week has been quite hectic for us, and I think it went really, really quickly, and now it's the Restoration Hour again. So welcome to everybody. Good to see those of you online and with us today that we haven't seen for such a long time. And shalom, shalom to everybody. And again, like I said, I hope that, you know, that everybody's been good, everybody's been well. Like I said, it's so hectic outside with still doing so many things and trying to pack up our house and get moving. It's really so intense. So I'm just really praying that Yahweh will give us an extra bit of strength. Isn't that right, Yusuf?
Yes, amen. But you know, Leah, it's been a good restoration hour time that we've been having the last couple of weeks. Last week we had a really blessed time. If you weren't with us last week, then we really had a blessed time. And I believe this week again we're going to have a blessed time. And I pray this evening that wherever you are, that Yahweh is with you, that everything is going well in your life. Like Aliyah said, you know, things are moving and we're moving, but it's been really, really busy this week. And I think the next couple of weeks will be busy too. But I really do pray for you this evening that wherever you are, that Yahweh will really speak to your heart. This time, the Restoration Hour, is a time set aside where we can really just minister one to another and share around the word and just hear what the Father has for us. So I would like us to pray, and then we're going to, you know, get straight into this Restoration Hour. Father, we just want to thank you. We truly want to say thank you this evening, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. We want to say thank you, Yahweh, that you are always with us. Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, that you are the great I am. And Yahweh, I pray this evening that as we come together, Father, for this Restoration Hour, Father, that you will really speak to our hearts. Father, that whatever has happened this week, whatever we are going through still, Father, that we'll leave it at the door and that we'll allow you, Father, to take care of it. But also this evening, Father, I pray that you will take care of our hearts, that you will take care, Father, of the things that we come with, Father, our needs, Father, the things that we crying out to you for in prayer. I pray this evening, Father, that you will give us comfort and that you will be the one, Father, that guides us and leads us in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for all your people, Father, that always join us around the world, whether they come live or whether they join after, Father, we really pray that you will bless them. And Father, that you will just give them strength, Yahweh, and that you will give them hope. And Father, that through this time, this hour, Father, that is set aside, that you will minister to their hearts. And we thank you for this. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I know that it's on your heart to be praying for us all later, Yusuf, and so that is really cool. I look forward to that. And you know what's really cool is getting into the Word of Yahweh. Amen. And this evening, like we said, we've had quite a week, and you know, there's been a scripture really laid on our hearts over Shabbat, just a scripture to meditate on, a scripture that our Father's been laying on our hearts to say, you know what, this is really a comfort scripture, not only for us, but for many people. And we know that things are being pretty tough in the world the last year. And I consistently hear from people who are still, you know, experiencing the hardships of what we have all been going through, but for some more than others. And those people who have lost loved ones, or those people who are currently sick, or those people who have lost their jobs. And we know that things are being quite tough. And the sense of worrying about people, the sense of worrying about family members or people that are just experiencing a spirit of fear as well, you know, which is just so rampant on the earth in this time. And just however it is released, whether it's, you know, through people speaking or through social media or through proper media, you know, this crazy liberal media that's, you know, just says all these things that often isn't true. But there's so much that's happening and a lot that people have to deal with. And again, the enemy just really capitalizes on that and just really drives home fear and really drives home all these things. And so there's really a scripture on my heart that Abba Father just really laid on my heart, but just really to unpack and to say, you know, we've heard this so many times, and we know Psalm 23 specifically so well. I often just wish I could just pause and be like, okay, can I just read this psalm for the very first time? Because growing up, it was the piece of scripture my mom always read to me, and it was just so powerful. But all I'm going to read, as we know Psalm 23 so well, all I'm going to read is verse 1 this evening, and it says that Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, or I shall not lack in any way.
Amen.
Now, like I said, we know the scripture so well. We know the psalm so well. We know that David wrote this. We know the context and everything. But you know, what is so important is that this psalm is so special because it starts off with saying, Yahweh is my shepherd. And while it's kind of like this sense of, okay, Yahweh is my shepherd, the psalm doesn't lay out any qualities of the sheep. You know, it's not like, oh, a sheep is like this because I'm a sheep and so I'm like this and so I see the shepherd and we're so separate. It actually just goes into just this meditation on what a shepherd in those days was truly like, what a good shepherd is truly like. And I think that we can so miss that. We can so miss it in this psalm. We can just look at it and go, well, he's my shepherd and I know this off by heart. But imagine this reality. This reality is that Yahweh is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, which means that he is so, so interested in what's happening with my life. And he's so, so interested in me having peace in my heart and peace in my life and leading me to good, good places. You know, making you lie down in green pastures and leading you besides that which is quiet and restoring your soul. And you know, when you go through the hardships of life or the trying seasons, or and that season could be a year long or 12 years long or 3 months long. It could just be a season of hardship that a person goes through. And you need that restoration for your soul. You need that peace to return. You need that promise of comfort, that love. And you know, it's all about the shepherd. And Yosef, what's so, so special though about when we think of the shepherd is that the Hebrew word for shepherd is the ro'eh. And it actually, yes, it does mean shepherd, but it's actually a root word which means to associate with someone as a close friend or a close companion and to actually keep company with that person. And I think that that is the essence of what the shepherd was. Instead of us seeing this, you know, kind of lonely shepherd just leading sheep because it's his job or because he, yes, you know, has these sheep and he wants to look after them. And so he's just going to lead them because he's expected to. It's really that sense more of that there's a companionship that is happening. There's a friendship connection that is taking place between the shepherd and the sheep that he looks after. And yes, we know that you get different kinds of sheep, but it was really, really this, just this closeness. And I think that that is at the essence of what the Hebrews understood, what it meant to be a shepherd. They didn't understand it like we see today. There are many bad shepherds, like as in really bad shepherds in the natural world that don't look after their animals. And we see it a lot out in here in Africa. It's like just really, you know, don't look after their animals and the animals don't get properly kept. And you know that there's poverty, so the animals don't get the ointment on them that they need, which is part of what actually happens in this psalm. You know, you get your head anointed with oil, but that was actually what would physically happen in the ancient Near East. It's like there was a special mixture of oil that would get put on the sheep to protect them from bugs and insects and lice and this beetle that used to bore into the heads of the sheep and actually afflict them, that they would scratch themselves terribly. So it was actually a physical thing that the shepherd really did. Even though we think of this today as almost like a bit of a figurative language, you know, he's anointing my head. So I can think of it as the Holy Spirit. I can think of it as protection. But honestly, it's all of these good qualities that show that this friend that sticks closer than a brother, Messiah Yeshua, is not only there for, you know, to embody the shepherd of he's going to look after me and protect me and he's going to take care of me, but he's actually close to me as my friend. And so whatever I'm going through in my life, whatever is maybe hard for me or the situations that are just really pouring out my soul more than restoring my soul, he is with me in it. And he is going to be close to me. He is close to me. He is my companion, so I do not need to fear. He even lays this table before me in the presence of my enemies and fills my cup so that it's overflowing. And that means that even though it's hard, even though times are tough, even though maybe we have physical enemies or maybe our enemy is in the spirit realm and the devil is, you know, driving hard at our door and just attacking us, or bringing spiritual thoughts in our minds that's not good, or bringing discouragement or disheartenedness or brokenness to our doorway, we still have this table that's laid before us, and we still know that we can eat from what is abundant because we are offered abundance even when it is tough, because our shepherd is our friend and he is with us, and because we have his companionship, we can eat even in the presence of our enemies.
Amen. You know, Leah, I was thinking when you were talking, you know, Yeshua himself, we know in the Psalms it's talking about Yahweh as the shepherd, and then Yeshua comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. And I've always sat with that passage of scripture and wondered about it. Why does he say, you know, I'm the good shepherd? Like, what does it actually mean? And I think, like you said, oftentimes we don't always understand the context or the historical background to the things that Yeshua says. Like when he talks about being the living waters and he talks about, I am the good shepherd, they would understand, you know, the difference between a bad shepherd and a good shepherd. And we know that, you know, Yeshua is not talking Greek, and that unfortunately, you know, in the Bible, when we read that, it's translated again into the Greek, but he was probably speaking, you know, Hebrew or Aramaic. And when you look at those words and it talks about, you know, the good shepherd, I think it's the word tov that is used there, where it talks about good. And in essence, he's actually talking about the difference between, you know, someone that was hired to look after sheep and then someone who's the shepherd that's looking after his own sheep, that has actually purchased those sheep and has a different outlook on how he's going to look after them, like it says in Psalm chapter 1. And the difference is he's saying to the people, I am the good shepherd. In other words, I am a shepherd that is not hired by other people. I'm not hired to look after my sheep. I'm actually looking after my sheep because I love them, because my sheep hear my voice. And that's why he can say, my sheep hear my voice, and they hear me, or when I speak to them, they listen to me. Because in those ancient times, the shepherd who was looking after his sheep and his own sheep would be with them continually. We see it with David, how he's out in the field when the prophet comes to anoint him to be king. And he's out in the field and he's looking after those sheep. But not only is he looking after them, he's also protecting them. Every time an animal comes to attack, he doesn't run away. Whereas the hired person in those times was more interested only about the money that they could get. And they were not going to stick around when something came or when something was about to attack it. Maybe they would stick around a little bit. But in essence, Yeshua is saying, listen, I'm not a thief. I'm not someone that's just looking for the money. I'm not someone that's just here to you know, give the sheep a little bit of food. I'm actually wanting to build an intimate relationship with my sheep so that when I call them, they hear me. And like you said, there's different kinds of sheep. Some sheep were probably stubborn. Some sheep were very loving. Just depends. And I think that's the same as how it is in the body. And you know, throughout the book of Jeremiah, we read continually how, you know, Jeremiah writes about the shepherds and those that don't tend to the sheep, and how he talks and he says, you know, you leaders, you people who are supposed to be good shepherds are not looking after the sheep of Yahweh, but instead these sheep are wandering all over the place with broken bones, they have broken legs, and you don't tend to their wounds, you don't look after them. So they understood, you know, Israel as a nation understood these analogies, and they understood, you know, the whole thing of Israel being, you know, sheep that have been wandering around, and they in need of a good shepherd, because the truth of the matter was they were messing around continually. And these shepherds that were supposed to be over them, they were not looking after them. So Yeshua comes with this profound statement that we often overlook. Okay, he's just a good shepherd looking after sheep. But in essence, he's referring to everything that the prophets were talking about and everything that was still to come, and saying, look, I am that good shepherd that's going to tend to your wounds. I'm going to be like Psalm 1 says. I'm going to put that ointment on you. I'm going to look after Psalm 23, sorry. And I'm going to look after you in a way that is important for your life. And I think this evening, Elia, that what Yeshua wants us to understand is that he's not only the good shepherd, but as a good shepherd, like it says in that, you know, Yeshua says that I will leave the 99 and I'll go after that one. And I think also, again, we don't always understand, why did he say that? It's like, why leave them all? Like, why don't you set someone there? But in essence, what he's saying is, you know, they hear my voice and those 99 will stay. But the one that's gone wandering off, I need to go and find them, because I am a good shepherd and I won't allow any harm to come against them. And I really feel this evening that no matter where you're at in your life, it's important for us to get to a point where we realize that Yeshua wants us to understand that he's that good shepherd that's looking for intimacy with us. The whole thing about the good shepherd was that he was intimate with his sheep. He slept with them. He walked with them in the day. He took them to places where they could find right food. He was continually invested in his sheep, not like the hired person. He wasn't just someone that was, you know, on the job for some pay. He was there because he wanted to invest in their lives.
Mm. You know, Yosef, I read a book many, many years ago, and a lot of people probably have read this book because it's quite old. And if I remember it correctly, it's called something like A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 or something like that. And it was written, I think, in the 50s. And there was a beautiful quote. There's a quote in that book. It's obviously, if there's a shepherd looking at Psalm 23, he's writing from that perspective of what he's observed during sheep herding and what he's observed, you know, obviously within his own flocks, but also in flocks of other people and being in that kind of community. And he referred to, you know, the staff that the shepherd has. And he wrote this, and I actually wrote it down once because I found it so beautiful and so comforting. And you were talking now about like sheep that were very loving. I think about the animals that we have, you know, the pets that we have. And some people have sheep, some people have pigs, you know, whatever your animals are, you get those that are a little bit more mischievous than others, and those that are just generally very loving. And, you know, you're kind of your lap cat as opposed to, you know, your one that runs around. And there's a lot of, you know, sheep, I guess, that just have different personalities. But this was so beautiful to me. And this man wrote that sometimes I have been fascinated to see how a shepherd will actually hold his staff against the side of a sheep that is a special pet or favorite to him, simply that so that they can be in touch. And they will walk along this way almost as though the shepherd and that favorite sheep were hand in hand. The sheep obviously enjoys the special attention from the shepherd and revels in the close, personal, intimate contact that is between them. And I think that that's so beautiful because, you know, you also spoke about that lovingness, and that was the purpose. You know, in Psalm 23 we read, it says your rod and your staff comfort me. And I'm going to get into the rod just now, but that staff is just so much what we see in all the pictures when we see a shepherd, you know, that the crooked staff with it standing there, and that just kind of is a symbol of what it means to be a shepherd. And was that, you know, of course had that little thing at the top because you're pulling sheep sometimes around, but also just, you know, touching your sheep with that, maybe in the night, you know, when you're sleeping out, when the shepherd would sleep out in the nighttime in the darkness with his sheep, keeping them safe, you know, just touching them, feeling that, you know, okay, everyone's still here, keeping that eye on them. And imagine that, you know, being a shepherd sleeping out in the nighttime, you know, you don't get a good sleep. You were talking to me earlier on about how the cat sometimes is disruptive in the night. And we do have one cat that is quite disruptive in the night, which cats generally can be because they're nocturnal. But, you know, generally he's not that bad. And think about how, you know, if you're a shepherd and you're sleeping out there in the nighttime, you actually don't get much sleep because you have to. I mean, you're not going to go to sleep and have a solid 5 hours. You know, a sheep can wander off, or there can be predators around. But also just that sense of being a companion. The sheep always look up, and you see them when there's a good shepherd around, looking at that shepherd. And that is really how it needs to be with us as well. It is about a bond. It is about a connection. It is about what that means, you know, to walk closely and intimately with Messiah Yeshua. And it's so beautiful. You know, I want to read just a few quick scriptures of where it refers to Yeshua as the shepherd, because I think it's so key to see in the Bible where he's actually mentioning himself as a shepherd. And most of it's found in the New Testament. Mm. You spoke about John 10, verse 14, which says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. We also know, this is such a beautiful one, this is in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40 verse 11, which says, he tends his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs in his arms And he carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young. That is such a very, very special, compassionate, loving nearness. Mm-hmm. You know, tending the flock like a shepherd, gathering the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. It's so incredibly special. And then we know as well that in Matthew 2, verse 6, it actually says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And that was obviously this quote that Messiah Yeshua is coming from Bethlehem, and he's going to embody everything that it means to be a shepherd for all of us, for Yahweh's people Israel. You know what's interesting, Yosef, that the word for rod in Hebrew is the Hebrew word shevet. And then the word for tribe of Israel, meaning all the 12 tribes of Israel, the whole house of Israel, is actually also the word shevet. So it's this connection that we are fully the sheep that he is shepherding. He wants to kind of reign over us fully as this shepherd. What that really means, that connection, that bonds, that covenant. He speaks in Ezekiel 20 actually about passing under the rod, the shepherd's rod, when he comes back and judges the people. And through that, he's going to separate us using the shepherd's rod. And it's beautiful that to see. And then in Luke 12, verse 32, he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." And I love that one. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Messiah Yeshua, the great shepherd of the sheep." I mean, there, even in Hebrews, it's such a powerful book. It's all about covenant. It's all about priesthood. It's all about Melchizedek. It's all about us being in that deep covenant. It's all about the tabernacle. Is referring there to Yeshua as the great shepherd. Ultimately, above all, that's who he really is. Now, 1 Peter 2, verse 25 says, "For you were all like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the one who oversees your souls." Now, that is powerful. Peter's writing so powerfully there. The shepherd is guarding our souls. And if we say Psalm 23, verse 1, and we say, "Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want," in the season that I find myself in, I'm not going to lack anything. It's going to be good. You know what? We can also know that part of what he is doing is overseeing our soul. He's looking after us. If it's tough, if things are tough in our families, if things are tough in our work life, if things are tough for us right now, we know that he is close to us. He is overseeing our souls. That is why it continues to say in Psalm 23 that he leads me beside those quiet streams. He restores my soul. He is so interested in our emotional capacity. He's so interested in our mental state. You know, he's so interested in what's going on within our hearts and in our beings. And you know what? I personally love Revelation 7 verse 17, because this is like, you know, Revelation is all about Messiah Yeshua coming back, and it's all about the bride, and it's all about what we can expect in those end times, and it's all about what we're going to see, what we're going to behold. And we kind of expect, you know, there's this revelation of Messiah Yeshua right at the beginning of the book of Revelation, where he has these eyes of fire and it's just really intense, and we see him like that, and we see him with these feet that are burning bronze, and he holds these seven stars in his hands, and it's such a powerful image. And then Revelation 7 verse 17 says, "For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and there God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And that even though, you know, he's like revealed himself to John as that powerful image of seven stars and burning fire and hair as white as wool and this tunic and this gold, he sees him as well as this lamb that shepherds the flock of which we are all a part of. And you know, that lamb, image of the lamb, is all about that innocence, all about that goodness, all about that purity, all about Yeshua as that in his innocence and of course purity, but also about his gentleness, his compassion. And that is how he leads us, Yosef. And we can always lean into that. You know, sometimes in the hard things in life, we think we should be doing better. You know, like, well, you know, there's a trial and it's happening, and maybe it's happening in my family, maybe it's happening for me, or I should be doing better. You know, I'm a mature believer. My faith should be stronger. I should be getting on with the task, you know. And sometimes we don't exercise grace for ourselves. we just get pretty tough on ourselves and we think we should be doing better, or we can't stick to a quiet time routine because things are tough in our life. We should be doing better. But the truth of the matter is that Yeshua doesn't see us in any of those ways. He sees us with that love, with that companionship. And that's when, even if we have 5 minutes to pray because things are hectic in our lives, that 5 minutes can be incredibly powerful. You know, you can get more in that 5 minutes if it's just, you know, pure and innocent and just in a moment with Him than you could probably get in 3 hours sometimes of praying. Because it's got to do with where your heart is. And when our hearts are for Him, we don't need to prove it to Him. We can just be with Him, and He's always our shepherd. And so even if we, the sheep that's like a little bit to the back of the flock, you know, the shepherd is still with us. He's still with all of us. He's still abiding with all of us. He's still got His watchful eye on us. And He hasn't gone anywhere. And we don't have to, you know, hold Him up. We're not letting Him down. We don't have to do anything. We can just rest in the fact that He loves us.
Amen. You know, Leah, this evening I pray that whoever listens, and those of you that are listening live, I pray that you will stop and think and consider how Yahweh has been a good shepherd to you, that you will think about how He's speaking to you and what that means to you. As we go to this song, I really pray that Yahweh will just minister to you, and that you will know, as Aaliyah was saying, that He is that good shepherd. And not only that, but that He wants to lead you beside streams of living water, and He wants to quiet your soul. So let's go to this song, and it's called Hold On To Me by Lauren Daigle. Oh no, sorry, it's Make A Way, Pardon Me, by I Am They.
is Make A Way by I Am They. I know that Joseph is getting excited to listen to Lauren Daigle later on, but I absolutely love the song Make Way. It's such a beautiful song. I hope that you enjoyed it. So welcome back to the Restoration Hour. And you know what? We are talking about Yahweh as the shepherd, and the core of this is, of course, Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is actually really, really a beautiful scripture. And I don't know. I think like it must be one of the most powerful scriptures in the entire Bible, because it's what we learn as children, and you know, it's what we get as children. We learn Psalm 23, and I have said this before, and I think I've shared it before in the Restoration Hour, but that was the scripture that my mom taught me ever since I was little.
She still reads it every day.
She still reads that. You know, it's Psalm 23 and Isaiah 40. You know, those who wait on Yahweh will rise on wings like eagles. So I think that those are the powerful, powerful scriptures that we remember. Now, still going on with what we were talking about, Yahweh as shepherd, like we said, Ro'eh, this companion that sticks closer to us, you know, this connection, this intimacy, this bond, this love. And before we went to the song, I said something that is really, really true, is that, you know, Yeshua, what I think we often forget is that Yeshua is very much a God who totally understands what it means to be a human. He's not expecting superhumanness from us. Yes, he's expecting heartfelt obedience and love, commitment, to be sure. But we also know that he understands our lives, and that there will be seasons in our lives where it's going to be hard. There's going to be seasons in our lives where, you know, we're going to be going through tough times. That's right. And he doesn't expect us to respond with superhuman strength or faith even. He just expects us just to, you know, just still love him from our heart. It's not that we have to force ourselves to have this 3-hour quiet time so that we don't feel guilty. But it's sometimes, a friend once told me, I was in such an intense season in my life and had no physical or emotional strength to even pray. And a friend of mine said to me, you know what? When you lie down at night, just play worship music, because there he is with you. You don't have to say anything to him. You don't have to, you know, be berating yourself to get into a place of prayer like we do. That is actually still workspace. Think about it. I'm going to fast and pray. What am I actually saying when I'm saying that? I'm working to get him to speak to me. We need to think about this very, very carefully. Yes, it's good to fast and pray because it comes from our heart. But when it's like, oh, I want God to speak to me, like he must speak to me because I'm going to fast and pray, I'm going to spend this time. It's like we still want to do something to get that grace when we actually just need to be and we receive it. And that's the closeness of the shepherd. He's not just going to leave the sheep there. Like you said, he's not one of those hired people that are there for the minimum wage. You know, he is there for the long haul. He's there to lead us beside the stream of living water. He's there to lay the table even when our enemies are pushing hard. And, you know, he's there to anoint our heads with oil. And like I said, you know, that anointing is very specific. He's there so that our cup overflows. And let me tell you something. This verse 6 is so powerful in the original, because in English, you know, we just read, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. That's not what it says in the original. In the original, it says, surely, and it doesn't even say surely, but it says, the goodness and love of Yahweh will pursue me and hunt me down all the days of my life.
Amen.
In other words, the goodness of Yahweh, the love of the shepherd, will pursue me and will find me and will hunt me down and will chase me down and will get onto me because he loves me. His goodness and grace and love is not going to be like, oh, you know, I'm not even going to give it to you. It's like pursuing us. And think about what it means to be pursued. Someone is running behind you and is like wanting to overtake you. You cannot get away from the shepherd's love, from his goodness, from his mercy. It's hunting you down. Today it's coming for you. You know, that's why he says, I can leave the 99 and find the one. It's that pursuit of us.
I was just thinking about that song that we like to sing about, you know, he will leave the 99 and go after the one. In that song, it talks about the pursuit, that he pursues us, that he goes after us. And that's exactly what it is. He's pursuing us continually, Aaliyah. And I think sometimes we we don't really understand, or we don't really comprehend how that works, because as human beings, we're always trying to run away. We're always trying to hide. We're always trying to, you know, do opposite. But Yahweh's pursuing us, and Yeshua is running after us in the hope of bringing us back. And he never wants one of them to be lost. And that's, you know, like we said in the last restoration hour, the one where we were talking about the prodigal son, that whole story is about what was lost and then what was found. And you read about the sheep that was lost and then found. We read about, you know, the coin that was lost and found. It's all got to do with that idea that Yahweh wants to restore us to a right relationship. He wants us, whatever is lost, he wants to bring back. And that's what the Good Shepherd is doing. Not only is he healing our wounds, not only is he protecting us, not only is he looking after us, but he's also pursuing us. Even when we wander off, like the sheep do, they wander off. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen how, you know, sheep just tend to do their own thing quite often. And oftentimes you have them that wander off. And we are like sheep that have gone astray. And Yeshua says that. We are like sheep that have gone astray. And those of us that have changed and come and returned back, we have that intimacy with the shepherd again. But those of us that are still wandering away, Yeshua is saying, you know what, I will pursue you. Mm-hmm. I will hunt you down. I will pursue you and love you, and my love is unconditional. It never ever ends. It's us that runs away from him, and we don't always we run away in shame, and we run away in guilt. And Yahweh is saying, you know what? No, I want to get you back.
And you know, even when we are back, Yosef, we can be steadfast in that love. You know, like we spoke about the prodigal son, yes, it is about salvation, but it's also about, you know, sometimes the things that we go through in our lives that make us, like you said, you know, maybe stuck in the shame, maybe stuck in the guilt, you know, I'm not being the best that I should be, whatever that looks like,
right.
Or I'm not, you know, praying as much as I should be, whatever that's supposed to look like. And then we have all those expectations on ourselves, where Yeshua doesn't have expectations of us. He doesn't have expectations of us. He just says, be holy because I'm holy. It's like this reality that's what we should be, so we can make a choice. But it's not an expectation of, like, you know, you have to be that thing or else I will never love you. It was while we were still sinners that Messiah Yeshua died for us. So how much more now that we are saved and part of the family of Messiah Yeshua?
Is he wants to give you that.
Exactly. Yeah, amen. He's giving that. And even so, we've spoken a lot about the threshold covenant.
Right.
You know, once you are in the family, once you have stepped over, and of course, like we've said many times in the ancient Near Eastern culture, when you went to someone's house, you know, they killed that animal, put the blood on the threshold. When you entered into the house, you were, you know, part of the family. And so the host, the person who was the owner of the house, had to protect you. Now we see in Psalm 23 that he's preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Essentially, what is also being said here is that shepherd is also actually the host.
Mm.
The shepherd is also becoming the host. He is, you know, in charge of the house. So now that you are in the family where Yeshua has made the way for us, like the Bible says, he's our brother. He's brought us into the house so we can be part of the family, so that Yahweh is our father.
Mm.
There is a divine protection that is upon your life when you come in and abide in the house. And it is there where we can eat freely from the table. But you know what is so important is that it says here, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Amen.
So sometimes the hard times are not going to leave us for a while, or our enemy might be present with us. Think about how Esther had to eat at the table, even though Haman was present.
Mm.
And I think we forget that. I think that we forget that Esther prepared a meal for the king, but also for her enemy. And it must have been very, very hard to eat in the presence of an enemy, someone that actually wants to take your life, because essentially she was a Jew and he wanted to kill all the Jews. So she was part of his enemies, but, you know, Haman was also part of her enemies. How difficult is it when we have to eat in the presence of our enemies? And sometimes that is a spiritual enemy as well. The devil could be driving hard against us because we are Yeshua's. So we automatically become a target for attack. And so we are part of the family. We're in that house. And so we need to understand that the shepherd also is protecting us.
Amen. You know, Leah, when you were talking about that analogy of the, you know, the blood that they would put down on the threshing floor, and then you would go into the family and you would be protected. It's exactly like you're saying. Even when an enemy came or a foreign person came, it was that idea that as soon as you stepped over that threshing hole or that threshing floor and you went into that house, that person would totally protect you. We see it even with the angels and Lot, how he took them into his home, and it was important for him. Remember, he wanted to take them into his home because then he had to become their protector. And Yahweh is the Father, like you said, and Yeshua is the one whose blood has been poured out on their threshing floor. But unfortunately, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says those who have entered in through the covenant and then they disregard that covenant are actually stepping underfoot the blood of that covenant. And think about it. When we're in that house and then we decide, well, we don't need that protection anymore, or we don't need that covering anymore, you're actually stepping out over that threshing floor where the blood has been placed. It would be like almost like a little dip in the floor where they would pour that blood, and you would then step out over that blood and you would be stepping out of that protection. And a lot of times, Aaliyah, we do that. We think that we can do it on our own and we step out of the protection of the family and of Yahweh. So tonight, I really believe that Yahweh wants us to understand that. And that's another thing that I just wanted to say. You know, oftentimes we put guilt on ourselves and we put these expectations on ourselves and we put all these heavy things on ourselves. And it's not from the enemy. It's not from other people even. It's from ourselves. We put these things upon ourselves because we want to perform, and we think by performing we're gonna gain something more. Yahweh is not like that. Yahweh wants us to understand that His grace is sufficient, that He loves us, and that when we pursue Him, He pursues us too. That when we press in, He presses in too. When we call out to Him, whether we have a little bit of strength, Yahweh is faithful and just to receive it and to get you and to pull you closer to Him. We have to remember that. He's not a cruel Elohim. He's a Father that loves us. And when we cry out to Him, He's going to hear us and He's going to pull us closer.
And you know, I was reminded of something. You know, you were saying there, the Father that loves us. Some people don't have a father. They don't know what that feels like. And so I know for myself that it was pretty hard to begin to understand that He was a good Father, because my relationship with my earthly father wasn't so good. But then having that redeemed and coming to see that Yeshua was unlike any earthly father I'd ever known, or unlike, well, you know, not just like my father, but unlike a lot of people's fathers, you know, that I knew. I never had a good father that I ever saw. Even my friends' fathers had all upped and left, and it was just that brokenness. And I think that once we begin to just have that redeemed view that Yeshua is unlike anyone we will ever know, unlike anyone that we will ever meet. Sometimes we see part of Yeshua in someone, be like, wow, I can see Yeshua in that person. They radiate love or kindness or authority or power, whatever it may be, you know, but He's unlike that. He's that times like a million. And I think that it's about having that redemptive walk with Him to show us what is Him as Father really look like? What is Him as Shepherd really look like? What is Him as the one who comforts us? What does that really look like? And then leaning into that and having that pure relationship with Him flowing out from Him. Because we know as human beings we make mistakes. Our earthly fathers make mistakes on us, you know, and with us, you know, when we're young, and they do this and we don't know why. But having that pureness come from Him alone is so powerful, and it's what we should be leaning into. And I think that that's what makes shepherd sometimes difficult, because, you know, I haven't spent any time on a farm. Like, I don't have not really spent any physical time with a real life shepherd. So sometimes in our minds, we don't have a frame of reference for it. But when we read the Bible and we begin to unpack it, we can say, you know what, the shepherd is something more. I have God context for friendship. And so by looking at this word shepherd and seeing that it means friend, companion, you know, someone that I'm keeping company with, that makes me feel really warm inside, because we know that our earthly friends let us down, and we probably have had broken trust, all of us, so many times in friendships, but He's not like that. He's really keeping companionship with us. And the final thing I want to just share today on this whole topic, and I think it's important, is that when we read in verse 4, you know, it talks about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to fear no evil, for you're with me. your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sure. We spoke very quickly about the staff, but one of the things about the shepherd's rod was that it was a weapon of authority. It was a very much a weapon that was used kind of as a scepter. It was so much about, you know, even today in different cultures, particularly in the African culture, particularly in the Asian cultures, in the Middle Eastern cultures, the rod of the shepherd is a powerful, powerful indicator of who they actually are. Sometimes it's very ornate. Sometimes it's, you know, very carved. Sometimes it's very, very specific to who they are as that individual shepherd. But here it also functioned in that time as this weapon of authority. The sheep knew who was in control, but not only did the sheep know who was in control, it was also the predators knew who was in control, because, you know, the shepherd would take that rod, would ward them, those predators, off by the power of his authority, which was also resting in the rod. But, you know, even with David, he was so strong that he didn't even need that. He says, like, he just took that lion and bear with his bare hands, and he could do that. Messiah Yeshua, you know, he's done that. He can do that in the spirit realm. He's done it. You know, he defeated, you know, death, the grave, the devil, took the keys, like went down, ripped it out of the enemy's hand, was like, yes, I've got it, and was just like, did that barehanded, you know. But today we can have courage, because when we look at this and it says, your rod, it comforts me. That weapon of authority, that symbol of who Messiah Yeshua is, that is ultimate. And it radiates in the spirit realm, and we forget that. So when the enemy even comes against us in the spirit realm, we can rise up and say that, you know what? I live in a blood covenant with Messiah Yeshua. Yeshua has all power, all authority in the entire world that is, in the world that will come. We can proclaim these truths and know that, you know what, he has that weapon of authority. And ultimately, you know, this rod that the shepherd has kind of symbolizes the rod that budded, you know, in the wilderness, number 17, when Aaron's rod budded, which was the symbol again then of the stake of Messiah Yeshua, where the ultimate authority was won forever. And so we can be encouraged today to know that Yahweh is an incredible God, and he sent his incredible son, who is referred to as in all those scriptures that I read to you, not only the good shepherd, but the great shepherd. That's what it says in Hebrews 13:20. He is the great shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Amen. He is looking after our soul. He wants to tend to our emotions. He wants to meet us, you know, in our deepest place. But also we know in 1 Peter 5:4, it says that he is the chief shepherd. So now we've got good, Yosef. We've got great.
Better and better.
And we've got chief.
Amen.
I mean, he's just like embodying it all. You know, the shepherd, you know, right at the bottom, shepherd kind of in the middle, the shepherd right at the top. You know, he's got that carved rod. You know, it's got his name on it, and we all know who he is. The demons know who he is. The devil knows who he is. There is nothing that cannot and will not and should not bow at the sign of authority that Yeshua has, the power that he has. And when we go through the hardest parts of our life, and when the enemy is really driving hard against us, whether he's using people in the physical realm, whether he's using circumstances, whether he's using family members, colleagues, work situations, you know, computer problems, whether he's using, you know, the people that live in your complex, like as has happened to us so many times, or whether he's, you know, using something in the spirit realm that's just coming against you. You can't sleep well at night because you're feeling something funny is echoing around. You know that you're a bit under attack. Everything has to bow because Messiah Yeshua is the ultimate authority. But we, as one of his sheep, as part of his flock, need to claim that authority. We need to stand in the authority of who he is and just declare that we live in that covenant with him. We are in his family. We are in his house. We are eating at the table. My cup overflows. And it actually says in the original, my cup overflows with many good things. You know, surely I will have no need. We will have no need. And this is this word here in verse 1 where it says, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. It actually is referring to I will not be in want of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that changes everything. This is not just like, oh, he's going to provide my meal, my finances, my he's going to pay my bills. It actually is saying that I will not be in need of any knowledge, wisdom, or understanding of my life, of this world, of Yahweh's will for me, of the will of the shepherd, my purpose. So if we have any of those things lacking today and we need to understand them, we can go to the good shepherd, you know, touch against his staff, be a little bit hand in hand with him and say, what is happening in my life right now? What do you want me to understand? Help me. I need wisdom, not only to know what to do, help me understand why this is happening in my life and what you're wanting to accomplish and how I can grow in this situation. And so we're going to go to our final song of the evening, the one that Yosef was very excited about earlier on, right? Lauren Daigle, Hold On To Me. And you know what? We want to play this song for you and we want you just to really receive the words of the song. When we get back, we want to pray for you. So you're welcome to put prayer requests down, but Yosef is very, very, very amped to pray for you all tonight. So enjoy the song and don't go anywhere.
When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night is stolen. When I'm slamming all the doors you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see. When I am sure I have reached the end, hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, hold me again. When I don't feel like I'm worth defending, when I'm tired of
Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua this evening that you sent your Son, Messiah Yeshua, Father, to die for us, but not only to die for us, to be that good shepherd, to get us into a right relationship with you once again. And Father, I really want to pray this evening for every single person that has joined us on this coffee break. I pray, Father, that they will come to a point where they know, Father, that you are for them and not against them. Father, I pray that this understanding of Yeshua being that good shepherd and you being the one that looks after us and wants us to be part of the family, wants us to make a difference, wants us to have courage, to have boldness, Father, to trust you and to know your name. I pray, Father, that every single person here tonight, Father, will be lifted in their spirit to know that you are with them wherever they go. I also pray this evening, Father, that you will raise people up, Father, in this generation like you have never done before. And Father, that their hope and their faith, Father, will be secure in you, and that you will give them everything that they need for life and godliness, Father, and we thank you for that. Father, we also want to thank you that we can have these times, Father, these times on this restoration hour. I thank you, Father, that it has been a blessing, not only for the people listening, but also for us. And Father, we want to pray that you will continue, Father, to just bless this time, that every time that we come together, Father, that the needs will be met, that people, Father, that will join us wherever they are, Father, that they will hear your voice speaking to them, and that they will know, Father, that they are yours. We thank you, we honor you, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Messiah Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Father, I want to thank you this evening that you are good. Father, thank you so much that you said that your goodness, your love, and your mercy will pursue us all the days of our lives. And Father, as we sit here today, we want to open up our hands and pray that that will be the case for all of us. Father, we open up our hands to receive the fact that your goodness, your love, and your mercy will pursue us and overtake us, Father. Mm-hmm. That it will be so huge and so big that it will completely fill every single place in our lives. And Father, I want to lift Colleen up to you this evening, Father, who continues to look after her mom. And I want to pray, Father, that you will be with her in this time, that you will give her renewed strength, that you will restore her soul, as it says in Psalm 23. Father, that you will lead her in paths of righteousness, Father, for your name's sake. And that no matter what happens in her life, Father, no matter how it feels like hills and valleys right now, that Father, you will be the God that is the great I Am, reigning over everything in her life. And Colleen, I also just feel that so powerfully that, you know, Father is saying, I am the great I Am, the great I Am, always, always, always. And Father, I just really pray that that will just resonate with Colleen, that you are the great I Am, and that you're always with her, Father, that you hold the present, the past, and the future in the palm of your hand, and that you can do it, Father, but that it's all in your control this evening. Please bless her and her family, Father. Take care of them, and may she experience your goodness, your love, and your mercy pursuing her and overtaking her, not only today, but tomorrow, next week, next month, and in the years that lie ahead. And we thank you for her life in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty, mighty name.
Father, I also just, Marilise, I really just want to speak to you this evening. And while Elia was busy praying, I just really felt these words for your life, that be strong and be courageous. I also kind of saw Yahweh standing. It's kind of like a weird picture, but Yahweh was standing with a drill, and it's almost as if he was drilling certain things out. It was like the drill was going in, and as it was going in, sometimes it was a little bit painful, but as it went in, things were coming out. And Yahweh is saying to you that, yes, I'm working in your life. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it hurts. But it's for your restoration, and it's for a greater purpose, a purpose that you might not be able to see right now, but in the days to come, you will see things unfold, and you will see restoration coming to your life, restoration coming to your heart, restoration coming even to your mind. And I really feel tonight to say to you that the one place that you're struggling the most is in your mind. And Yahweh says that, be still and know that I am Yahweh. Be still and know that I am your Father, that I am your King, that I am the one, as Elias said, that leads you and guides you, but I am also the one that restores you. And I will restore your soul, I will restore your joy, I will restore your happiness and your fire in your life. And when I do that, you will know that it was me. And as I work inside your life, as I restore things in your heart, as I place new things inside your life, Yahweh says that I will take you from glory to glory, from place to place, and from level to level. But it's almost as if I feel like you feel like you've gone down instead of going up, in the sense of not necessarily in your walk, but maybe in a sense of your growth with the Father. And Yahweh's saying it's not like that. Yahweh's just saying, I've taken away certain things in your life that was there so that I can build new things into you. And as I do that, it's going to be greater. It's going to be stronger. You're going to be stronger. You're going to have more boldness, and you're going to have more zeal to talk about Yahweh in a way that you've never done before. So Marilise, I pray in the name of Yeshua that Yahweh will bless you, that Yahweh will keep you, that Yahweh will make his face to shine upon you, and that you will continue to pursue him, continue to look out for him, continue to find him in those places where sometimes it feels like he's hidden. Continue to press in. And that scripture says that, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh, and all these things shall be added unto you. And as you seek him, I pray in the name of Yeshua that he will be found, and that you will be in awe of the goodness of Yahweh. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. We want to say thank you so much to each of you for joining us this evening on the Restoration Hour. It's been such a blessing. Please know that Yahweh is with all of you. We keep you in our prayers every single time we think of you. We're just so grateful. And you know what? Be blessed. Have a blessed Shavua Tov. Don't forget that for the next 2 weeks while we are moving, we will not be on the Restoration Hour, but we will be back on the 11th of July, and we're looking forward to seeing you then. We will send out an email just to remind you. So again, thank you for being with us. Shavua, Shavua Tov. Have a good one. And may Yahweh just really, really bless all of you. That Amen. Is my prayer this evening. So take care and see you soon.
Shalom.
When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear. Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.